Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 9th, Harbor Board of Aldermen work session. We have just three items on our agenda, and we'll proceed with the first one, the presentation of the Human Services Commission report for 2009-2010 budget year. Mr. Manager.
I'll recognize James Harris to introduce our speaker tonight. James. Don't twist her arm again, James.
That's 16.
This is Audrey Layton. She's the chair of the Human Service Advisory Board, and she's been on our commission for about 3 or 4 years, and has been doing a great job. So she's going to make that presentation tonight.
Okay, we did our usual difficult job of trying to give away more money than we had. we had started with $130,000, and we got an extra $10,000. I'll speak up. We decided to focus on particularly the extra money to help people who are least able to help themselves. So we divided the money up into 41 to 43 agencies, and you have the results in front of you, I believe. If you have any questions about it. Yeah.
I noticed Meals on Wheels is new.
But they're new. Rather than new, this is recent,
okay.
Or how I want to say it. They don't apply unless they really need it.
Yeah, that was so worrisome, because I knew that about them.
Right.
So
this year, there were a number of factors, the economy involved, that made them come to us. They are one of the more efficient human service agencies we have.
Mm-hmm.
Their salary level is like, I don't know, $2,000 or something. They just put all their money into the program. So we were very happy to be able to help them and to have this extra money to give to them, and a little unhappy that they were facing those needs. As we all are.
And the one agency that we turned down, we don't have to name them, but why were they turned down?
You don't have to name them, so I come over and let you whisper to
them. I don't want to.
I can tell you one reason they turned down, because I was there at their presentation.
Okay.
I think part of the, and they can correct me, part of the reason why is because the cost of services that the way the calculation they did is too high vis-a-vis the cost of services and the way the money is used by other similarly situated services that are provided.
Okay, good. Okay. I don't want to publicly call them out.
Okay. I'm just looking here to see who they were. Okay. Yes.
Well, and likewise, I guess I'm not sure similarly, but there are two groups, it looks like, received slightly less money than last year. And I'm just assuming that in some way, during the presentation, you all saw some rationale for that.
Well, one group that comes to mind, and again without naming groups, is one whose part of whose service was transferred to another group.
Okay.
So we kind of transferred a little bit of their funding to the other group.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, it's hard to go through a 41 agency.
Right.
Which one? I did mark it down in here, stars as to where the funding had changed.
Okay.
Great.
Well, I'd just like to say, because I'm the liaison to, they always do a really good job. They ask very insightful questions. They read their material. They're always on time, unlike me. And they just do a really good job, and I want to publicly thank them for the service they provide to us.
Thank you. I'll pass it on.
Yeah, I also want to thank you all. I did basically the same job for 3 years when I lived in Iowa City, so I know firsthand, you know, how serious the work is of actually digging into understanding the mission of so many organizations and then figuring out what's an impossible task of, like, responding to so many needs that are so important with what's really relatively little funds. So I want to thank you for that. I also I'm interested not in changing anything because I think that the committee does a great job with these allocations, but I'd like to appropriate an additional $500 for one purpose, which I talked to Steve about the availability of those funds. And my concern is with the murder recently of Dr. Tiller, and I don't know if you all have been to Planned Parenthood offices. I've gone in my professional capacity in four states. I visited Planned Parenthood. All their facilities are built like fortresses, and the security is really intense. And it's because of this culture of terror that the far right foments in this country against what's really basic reproductive health care services. And we're in politics, and we're wanting to have humane and fair practices. And I think that it's appropriate for this town and this board to recognize the extra costs incurred by Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina, especially at this time in the wake of the Tiller thing. And their allocation is $1,000 out of the budget. And what I would like to do is appropriate an additional $500 out of the 08-09 contingency funds that are remaining to provide to Planned Parenthood in recognition of that need.
If that's a motion, I'll second it.
Thank you. And I guess I'll also move the resolution attachment A as part of that.
Okay. Are there any further comments or questions about that?
I'll just add that, you know, having worked with Human Services in the county and looking at it from the county perspective, I agree with Jackie and Dan and Joel in saying that it's very hard to choose, and you chose wisely and carefully in considering all of the requests. I really appreciate Dan for looking to boost Planned Parenthood because security is very costly, a big piece of their budget. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I'll just say ditto to everything. Thank you so much. And Dan, thanks for your
help. What I just want to add before we finish up is that it's really a tremendous satisfaction to see the number of people and the number of agencies that have come together in this area to help all of us.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring.
Thanks, Audrey.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Did we
seconded?
No. All those in favor of the two motions signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much.
Mark, after James introduces our next guest, I'd like to say a few words before she speaks, if that's possible.
Okay. We are on to item two, a presentation updating us on the 10-year plan to end homelessness, okay. Mr. Manager.
James.
And Jamie Roy will be making that presentation. And I'll just say to you that the town of Carver contributes $8,400 to the support of this position. She's the coordinator of the 10-year plan to end homelessness in the county. So I just wanted to remind you of that, and it comes directly out of the Human Service pot. Okay.
I've had the pleasure of working with Jamie for I guess the past almost 2 years, or maybe it's 3 years, on this project. And Jamie, when our coordinator resigned unexpectedly and quickly for another job, Jamie has stepped in, and she's doing a fantastic job. She has energy and enthusiasm, and above that, she has a great deal of compassion, which we need in this position. So, Jamie, thank you for all of your work, and thanks for being here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. So you all have, I believe, a copy of the annual report. This is the first annual report of the Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness, of which, as you all know, that Jackie is a member of the executive team, and James is on our working group and have been for several years. So tonight I'm going to talk about the annual report just a little bit, and then also you've got another handout about our community read of the book The Soloist. So in terms of the annual report, I just wanted to bring your attention to a couple of the highlights. If you look on the inside, it mentions the five major goals of the Partnership to End Homelessness: reducing chronic homelessness, increasing employment, preventing homelessness, increasing access to services, and increasing public participation. So one of the, over the last year, I think one of the major accomplishments has been the increase in our street outreach to those people who are mostly chronically homeless and mentally ill. And this is done by an organization called Housing for New Hope, based in Durham, and they've been doing it for several years, and they have a great program called PATH. So they have started now in Chapel Hill. I believe it's about a year that they've been doing it, and they've outreached almost 300, probably about 300 chronically homeless people in Chapel Hill. They don't work in Northern Orange, just in Southern Orange. So I guess it's actually Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And so what they do is they contact these folks, they develop a relationship, and the purpose is to get them off the streets, out of the camps, to get them services, and to get them housing. And it often takes quite a long time to do that, and that's a great thing about our community read of the book The Solo is coming at this time, is that it's a very interesting, very educational book about that process of working with a man who's living on the streets in Los Angeles and who's chronically homeless, suffers from schizophrenia. And that's the kind of work that our outreach workers do. They do a great job. I believe in July they're going to have four people that are working in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. They have a peer support person who is someone who is formerly homeless. They have a housing support person who is someone that tries to find them housing, and then two people that work, you know, just in general, just trying to find people and sort of work as a case manager with them. And they bring them to the shelters, and they connect them with the local services. So that's been a real important, I think, development over the last year. Another highlight, I think, is improved discharge planning from hospitals to the shelters so that people aren't released to the street and that there's coordination between the hospitals and the Interfaith Council, who runs and owns the men's shelter and the women's shelter. So that's also, you know, part of what the partnership about, a big goal of the partnership in general is getting everybody to work together. So to get all of the service providers and the local governments and, you know, all of these services to coordinate together. So, you know, we've got people from UNC hospitals on the executive team, and so they're an important leadership for the partnership. And another accomplishment over the last year is increasing public awareness of homelessness. We had our second Project Homeless Connect this past September. We served 202 homeless and at-risk of homeless individuals, and we had hundreds of volunteers, 50 service providers, and every year we try to increase our network of folks that are involved with that effort to really try to make it as countywide as possible. And so that's so this year we'll have our third one, and you can put it in your calendars, October 8th. It's a Thursday, and it's all day long. And for those of you who don't know about Project Homeless Connect, it's a one-day event that we have in the Hargrave Center to serve homeless people and at-risk of homeless people. We bring all the service providers together and try to connect them to the services. And that is a segue into more public awareness efforts. We're starting our first in a series of public education activities. We hope to have these on a quarterly basis, and our first one is a community read of the book The Soloist. So, and I've got extra copies of this if anybody else in the audience would like to see it. Also, you can access both the annual report and this a link to our blog for the soloist, the community read, by just Googling Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness, and that'll get you to our webpage. Anyway, so the point of the community read is the way we're doing it is we are having folks read the book over the summer, and then in September we're going to have a whole bunch of discussion groups. And we're hoping to have about 12 discussion groups, involve as many people in the community as possible, and people from very different geographic, like all over the county, and different socioeconomic levels. Folks that have experienced homelessness, are experiencing homelessness, mental health care professionals, and book clubs, you know, and we're having groups at the libraries who've been very supportive of setting up our blog and getting this organized. So we hope y'all can participate in it, read the book, or you can cheat and see the movie, and then participate in these discussions. And on the blog, we're hoping that, you know, people will start, you know, really sharing their own experiences, and we've got links to how people can get free books, and, you know, hope to get a dialogue going there, and then also just educating people generally about the work of the partnership there as well. So that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question about, I love that you're doing the community read. I think that's fabulous, and I think having the blog so folks can process it with others and have that social networking is really powerful. Will the libraries have podcast copies, audio copies? Because that would be a really good thing to ask them to do.
I know that the Orange County Library has at least one, and it's checked out right now. And I know, because I actually am working with a librarian who's on the list to check it out. So I know they have at least one, and they have, but I don't know how many Chapel Hill has at this point.
Can we ask the Cybrary maybe to get acquire a copy that would be available?
An audio copy?
Yeah.
That'd
for
be great.
The computer use.
That'd be great. And the Cybrary is going to probably be one of our community partners hosting one of the discussion groups, because this Amber Campbell, this librarian I'm working with up in Orange County, has contacted them about that. And I know they have several copies of the book on hand also.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to have chain books where people go out and buy the books. We put like a plate on it, a book plate, that says, you know, share it with your friends, and then, or bring it back and we'll lend it to someone else so that we can really get these in circulation.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Jamie, are you meeting personally with the newspaper editors to go over this report with them? Because I guess if not, I want to suggest that that personal contact could be really helpful in terms of getting this information out and really conveying to people. And you might even consider, when you have those meetings, inviting some of, like, one of the elected officials who's on your board to come along and, you know, strengthen that sense of what the public commitment is to this process. I know Jackie would be happy to do that.
And
if she
Sally,
can get
who's actually like a real leader of
right,
I mean, I'd
yes.
be happy to. I think Sally would do a better job than me.
Sally would be good.
And the Herald did publish an article about it today and outlined the major accomplishments over the last year, and they had interviewed Sally briefly, so she had a few comments in it. But I can make an effort to contact the other.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, on something of this importance and where it's, you know, there's really a lot going on in this plan with these five different aspects and all, to really talk them through it could be helpful to get the kind of reporting that the community could benefit from.
Okay.
So that's my suggestion.
Good. Okay, great.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The third item on our agenda is a solicitation from the town of Chapel Hill for us to give input on the Rogers Road small area plan.
Before you get to that, Mr. Mayor, there is a resolution to accept the report if you are so inclined.
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously. Mr. Manager.
Okay. This is a request from the town of Chapel Hill for feedback, comments, and questions on the Rogers Road Small Area Plan Task Force final report. Roy, do you have any comments you want to make?
David Bonk agreed to come over here and give a brief introduction and timeline.
Thanks, David.
David Bonk is the transportation planner and
long-range planner
for the town of Chapel Hill.
Are you the senior planner yet? Or
I am the manager of the long-range section, which includes transportation.
And he has been at the town of Chapel Hill for, I don't know, I'm going to guess at least like 18 years.
It'll be my 24th year next month. And for a year before that, I was here. I was commenting earlier that,
oh, is that right?
The room doesn't
that.
Change much.
The carpet or nothing. All right.
Thank you for the opportunity to come before you tonight to talk about the Rogers Road Task Force report. The report was finalized by the task force in February of this year and presented to the town council, who in turn referred it out to town advisory boards and to the town of Carrboro and to Orange County for your input because of the critical nature of this area as it relates to all three jurisdictions in the area. The task force itself was created several years ago and did include representation from the town of Carrboro as well as citizen representation from the Rogers Road area itself. And we also had Orange County representatives on the committee. I am not going to review in detail the task force report or recommendations. You have a copy of it. I'm here to certainly answer any questions you might have about the report itself. I did want to focus in on the what I believe is the really the critical element of the report. Let's see if I can find the page. I think it would be that more than anything else. And that is the land use recommendations of the report itself as they relate to the area, the study area, which was recognized as not being the complete definition of the Rogers Road neighborhood, but for purposes of the Chapel Hill study, these were the study boundaries. Rogers Road on the west, the railroad on the east, and various properties in the north and south. The main focal area of the recommendations actually are in this area, which is also the area designated as the 18 acres set aside for affordable housing as part of the Green Tract Agreement to which Carrboro is a party. So the recommendations that this report includes would change in a fundamental way the assumptions that had been made to date as it relate to the 18 acres on two accounts. First of all, during the course of the work of the task force, the Chapel Carrboro School District made it very clear and reinforced that their position that they in fact are looking at providing an elementary school. Elementary school number 12 would be provided at the end of Purefoy Road on the property that is encompassed by the Green Tract, part of the 18 acres. We have had preliminary discussions with the school district about that, and nothing more than the preliminary discussions. They are pretty tied up now with the design of elementary school 11, which is in the north side neighborhood. But we expect that they would pursue this one immediately after the approval of that.
Excuse yes. me. How far is that from the elementary school they just opened? It's not.
It's not that
it's far. Not a mile and a half.
But it would capture the folks who are off Weaver Dairy Extension.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's whole
right. And
areas.
But from what I think that's a whole nother discussion. But from what we've been hearing, you know, the latest numbers we've been getting on growth. Well, I guess they need to plan ahead as if growth's going to take off again like it was. But mm-hmm. I think that's a. I wouldn't want them presuming that's theirs for the taking.
Well, that is certainly an issue that needs to be resolved
yes.
by the three partners
yes.
Who have a stake in the
yeah.
18 acres, because one of the presumptions that the task force made going in is that in terms of the projected total amount of housing that might be provided on the 18 acres, that the inclusion of the school site on that 18 acres should not diminish the total amount of housing provided, which we believe can be accomplished, although it means that the type of housing provided would be perhaps of a different nature than originally intended or envisioned on the site. You'll also note that there is a designation for mixed use on the site. Again, the neighborhood felt strongly that they wanted to see some local neighborhood commercial as well as other supportive uses provided at the end of Purefoy Road as part of that development. And so the work that the task force did was aided greatly by the Durham Area Designers design team, which came in the summer of 2008 and provided some input to the task force through a series of workshops they held, where they had people come in residents of the area, task force members, and through an all-day exercise, we're able to hammer out a couple of different potential plans for the area that were then melded together to create the plan that's being recommended. So the 18 acres certainly is an issue that needs to be resolved, not only from the standpoint that the uses on that 18 acres are different than what was originally envisioned, but the preliminary planning that's been done related to the school suggests that in order to get a school there, they will need access to recreational facilities that would be beyond the boundary of the 18 acres, in other words, into the other portion of the green tract, which is slated for conservation. So the whole issue of how that's accomplished.
Which is what that map shows it that way, is that
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's kind of bulging south
right,
beyond the
thing
diagram.
Down
and then
here.
You have the issue of truly, truly, truly sharing.
Well,
yeah.
The fields or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Well, I can at least speak on the conceptual level, and I can be corrected. But part of what the neighborhood and the participants on the task force, especially those who live in the neighborhood, are looking for some positive capital investment within the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
in comparison to the landfill.
Right.
And for a lot of the members of the task force, the idea of, excuse me, an elementary school, they consider to be a positive one. And so I will leave it at that.
Right.
There any discussion of the fact that since the Green Tract plan was put in place, Habitats made a substantial investment in that area in building affordable housing, that might change the need for additional affordable housing on the Green Tract in light of the desire to put a school there?
There was some discussion of that, not as much in terms of whether affordable housing was still an appropriate use on the 18 acres, but perhaps that whatever housing is provided there would be both a combination of affordable and market rate housing. That I think there was a pretty clear sentiment that the neighborhood was concerned that there was perhaps the possibility for an over-concentration of affordable housing.
Right.
That needed to be balanced somehow with other market rate housing.
It does. I agree with that.
David, what about the potential for a school at Carolina North? How does that factor into this picture?
I'm not sure it's considered directly.
Yeah, I can comment on that. I've talked to the school board chair about that issue, and I think their perception based on conversations with the university is that there probably will be a site, but that they may need this site considerably sooner than any site would be available at Carolina North. And that was what they were telling me 6 or 9 months ago. And I guess if anything, it seems like Carolina North will be still that much more drawn out based on the events of the last 9 months. So I think that's part of the reason they're looking to this. And this will be. Well, when last I spoke to them, they were talking elementary school. I didn't catch whether you mentioned that particularly. Is that,
right.
is that
yeah,
still
right.
an understanding?
That's
elementary
right.
school
elementary
is what we're talking
school.
About. Mm-hmm. Elementary school number 12.
Okay.
I had a couple other questions. So I see it's a little hard to read the colors, but the westernmost part of the plan, is that a residential one unit per acre? Is that what's shown over there? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. I believe that this portion
right.
is shown at one unit an acre, the theory being that the density would be concentrated towards the core of the site along Purefoy, and then towards the edge would drop down.
Well, I realize that probably the residents in the neighborhood gave some input on that, and I have no idea how strongly they may feel about it. But let me just point out that one of the issues that we've been asked to confront is bringing sewer service up into the Rogers Road
mm-hmm.
area, and that type of one unit per acre. So you're looking for comments to the
mm-hmm.
Chapel Hill Town Council.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a comment that I would specifically like you to relay. I'm concerned that it would be extremely expensive to serve houses that might be built in that area with sewer service if it's built only at one unit per acre. So I hope you'll relate that. Mm-hmm. The rest of the plan actually looks quite good as far as I can see, as far in terms of it being a scale or type of development that would bring sewers up into the area. I think I would also share with the board that on this discussion of the possible school site within the Green Tract, that when I met with the chair of the county commission, actually the past chair of the county commission, and the mayor of Chapel Hill and the school board chair and discussed this issue, one of the advantages that we saw in it all was that there will be a very significant amount of infrastructure that has to be built, and a significant portion of it, particularly for the affordable housing and that type of thing, will probably end up being paid for by the government. And it may be more Chapel Hill's tax dollars certainly would be more Chapel Hill's tax dollars than anything from us. But I guess the point is, whatever the source of government financing is that has to go into building some roads and some sewer lines and so forth up into this area to make this plan happen, it makes more sense if one of the things that the taxpayers get out of it is a school site. You know, in other words, it's an increased benefit to the public generally, and so that seemed very logical. Could I trouble you to switch over to the street proposed? And I realize these are what you transportation people like to call conceptual.
Yes.
We're not saying the roads would go exactly there, mm-hmm. but they would do things like that. They would make those kinds of connections. I assume you probably had some discussion about how realistic or not it is to show a connection to Weaver Dairy Road extension across the mm-hmm. railroad tracks mm-hmm. there. An above grade crossing would be extremely expensive, but an at-grade crossing seems like an unlikely thing to be approved based on our experience in Carborough.
Yeah, what we've heard is that the railroad wants will only give a new crossing if you remove an old one.
Right, that's what we've heard too. There wasn't a lot of discussion of that. There was a recognition that it's a challenge. It will be a challenge to get some agreement from the railroad over that. But there was a pretty strong sentiment by the task force in general and the citizens who live in this area in particular that they did want a connection back over to the east for a variety of reasons. With regard to the issue of crossing the area that's been designated for conservation, we did have a meeting with some of the Orange County staff about that, and frankly, we're a little surprised the Nature Conservancy indicated that they were okay with that, in that they believe that a road would then open up more of the site to a more active type of recreation. Obviously, it would have to be done in a way that would minimize any environmental impacts, but they weren't completely opposed to the concept, at least, of it crossing over.
There is, in fact, an abandoned roadbed mm-hmm. that follows pretty much something close to what you have right. drawn on there.
So, I mean, does that connect to, what is it, Marin Road?
Marin Road, right.
Right. right.
And out of that, which out of all those yellow lines, what do you anticipate that the government ought to be responsible for building? I mean, some of that would be built as part of private developments mm-hmm. that would be anticipated mm-hmm. in the future, particularly seems like on the west.
Right. But for example, this section is already approved as part of the Habitat project. We have a current master plan for several of the pieces of property there in this area that would then obviously include that. Most of which we do anticipate to be built by development as it occurs, and whatever is left to be filled in would have to be obviously a public expense.
Well, I think I get the impulse to build an east-west connection across here, and I guess if it seemed like a railroad crossing would be possible at some point in the future, then if there's a real reason to believe that railroad crossing could be built, then it seems like it's probably worth doing. But I think from just from my sort of gut response to this, I mean, you have at least, even without that east-west connector, you have three ways in and out of the area where the school would be, because you've got two different connections to Rogers Road and one up to Eubanks Road. And while it would be more ideal to connect at Weaver Dairy Road Extension and Marin Road, I just don't believe that you're actually going to get the connection to Weaver Dairy Road Extension. And Marin Road is not a, you know, I mean, it's a pretty minor street as it stands right now. So I'm not, I don't mean to come down too hard on the point, but I'm not sure that the east-west connection is really worth doing unless we can be very confident that a connection to Weaver Dairy Road Extension would really be possible. And based on my experience, I'm doubtful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, I have a comment. This map will maybe help illustrate it a little, but it's a little different than what we've just been talking about. And this has to do with the construction of sidewalks along Rogers Road and Eubanks Road. And I think I've brought this up before in a different kind of context, but it, you know, on Rogers Road, you know, Chapel Hill has sidewalks along kind of the southern half of it, somewhat intermittently. There's a break or two, but it's along the southern half. And I know we have in our sidewalk money plans to build some portion of sidewalk on the west side of Rogers Road. But when all is said and done with our project and with maybe nothing happening soon with Chapel Hill, it's not one. It's as if we'll have almost a complete set of sidewalks, but they're on different sides of the street. And so, you know, I've brought this up before that I, you know, and I understand that, you know, Carrboro bond money, Carrboro side, Chapel Hill money, Chapel Hill side. You know, I wish there was some way we could legally work it out so that the sidewalk could be on one side or the other.
I mean, contiguous,
right? Yeah, and maybe that's been brought up before. But likewise, so that's just I don't know how that's possible or if that's possible or whether it's worth discussing further, but that's one point. The second point is, on Eubanks Road, there recently has been built at the corner of Rogers and Eubanks, slightly off the corner, but the it's like the it's the waste center,
Orange County
center. Pardon me.
The Orange County Solid Waste.
Yeah, the Solid Waste Center. Yeah. And it's been built there, and then of course the Animal Services Center has been built at the other end. Well, you know, Chapel Hill has put in a segment of sidewalk in front of the Animal Services Center, but in front of the brand new Solid Waste Center near this corner, there is no sidewalk, and which has just been built by the county. And likewise, it makes sense to have some coordination along Eubanks Road so that folks who, you know, may be walking, riding a bike, running, whatever, you know, up that road to head up to Eubanks Road Park and Ride or the Animal Center or whatever, it just makes sense to have some kind of coordination that those sidewalk links are built. You know, when we have two or three different jurisdictions with these different roads, I think that's an avenue where we could coordinate better, but I'm not sure how.
Well, maybe we can have some of that discussion at the Assembly of Government meeting that's been scheduled in September.
The development that's occurring presently on Eubanks, is that Chapel Watch?
Mm-hmm. Right, Chapel Watch Village.
So that's already, are they building
sidewalk? I think the reason there's no sidewalk in front of the Orange County facility may have everything to do with the type of approval that they requested. I don't believe it was a special use permit. It might have been a site plan approval.
It's also in the rural buffer, which may have factored into whether a sidewalk was
And then the issue along Rogers, as far as Chapel Hill is concerned, from the perspective of expenditures on sidewalks, is different than Carrboro, simply because it's not within the town's jurisdiction. We are not able to spend local funds on sidewalks there, and if for whatever reason we do provide them through development, there has to be an assumption of maintenance responsibility, or else the state won't allow them to be constructed. So we've got two strikes against this on the east side of the road until such time as we annex the entire portion.
Did these discussions include some sense of an annexation plan for that area?
Well, there was a lot of discussion about annexation, and it usually happens as a double-edged sword in some cases. Mm-hmm. There was a desire for a great deal of services, transit and other services, and at the same time a concern about the impact of city taxes on the affordability and the retention of long-time residents in the area. And in the end, one of the implementation measures that was adopted as part of the plan was to begin a dialogue about some kind of an annexation strategy that might incorporate some kind of relief for existing residents, either homestead exemption kind of provisions or something else. Mm. So that is one of the follow-on items we'll be pursuing.
David, does the plan, does the report address greenway connections or bicycle and pedestrian only type connections?
It does in a general sense. Let me go to this chart, which is a revised chart from the one that's actually in the report to reflect the fact that because of delays in getting the plan before the council and other things, we're really looking at the fall of 2009 as kind of the kickoff to much of the implementation steps. And you'll note that this item, work with Greenways Commission to update the Greenways Master Plan, is a direct result of the question you just raised, which is the need to provide more detail about greenway connections in that area.
I think, you know, we're working toward having much better greenway connections in the on the other side of the road there, mm-hmm. And connecting. Well, hopefully eventually connecting neighborhoods like the Highlands and Fox Meadow into the Bowling Creek Greenway in Carrboro. And it would be, I can't picture off the top of my head how to interconnect between those areas and across Rogers Road into this area, but it does seem like it would be important to do. And also potentially more directly from the general vicinity of the study area down into Carolina North seems like a important
right.
Piece of bike and pedestrian connectivity that should be fairly central to the plan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you could share that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions or
comments? I have one other thing, and this is really more just a discussion point that I think all the governments need to talk about. It comes up on page 20, where it's talking about the water and sewer connections, and it refers to water and sewer connections for individual homes as part of the compensation for the 37 years of hosting the landfill. And, you know, the thing that comes to mind for me there is that not all of the individuals in those individual homes have been hosting the landfill for 37 years. And at some point we need to figure out, you know, who it is who is really aggrieved in this community in terms of whatever financial commitment is made on an individual basis. So, for example, you know, if someone's been there since 1973 and has been living for 37 years with the landfill and was told that in 10 years it's going to close, then they're pretty mightily aggrieved and ought to be, sick and tired of being sick and tired, coin a phrase. But if someone moved in after 1983, then they knew that that 10-year promise was not being met, and they knew the landfill was there, so they're maybe less aggrieved. If someone moved in after 1993, then they knew the landfill was there, and they knew it was going to close. At that point, we thought we were being told, 2001? is now 2011, so they've lived with it longer, but obviously they are significantly less aggrieved. So I did a look just at the Carrboro side, because I'm interested primarily in who's in Carrboro, and of the Rogers Road community of the 100-some homes, there are about 24 on the Carrboro side in the older neighborhood, not counting the new neighborhoods, Tally-O and Highlands and all that. And to try and figure out how long people had lived there, I looked at the voter records, which is a clumsy tool for doing that, but it's what I had readily available. And I think of those 24 residences, 8 of them had lived there since before 1995. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think even using as recent a date as 1995 mm-hmm. as a cutoff, you know, it's a much smaller community in terms of people who we think might need compensation. I'm not suggesting that is the standard, but just kind of throwing these ideas out mm-hmm. as something that needs broader mm-hmm. discussion at some point as far as whatever kind of plan is put into place, you know, whether it's for sewer or other kinds of amenities down the road.
Yes.
David, one of the recommendations was revisiting ordinances pertaining to the replacement of manufactured housing
mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. striving to develop rules to allow. Can you tell me in just kind of briefly what that was dealing with?
Well, there was a concern raised by people about the impact on the ability to use manufactured housing in that area, whether it be existing or potential new housing. And without getting into any specific detail, the task force felt that that issue needed to be reviewed. And we did a little bit of research with our inspections department, and I don't remember the outcome of it, but I think we determined that the current rules would not prohibit that from occurring. But the issue of replacing existing units was one that they were concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And were they concerned particularly with this area where the new plan is, or were they concerned with the overall Rogers Road area, which also includes part of Carrboro?
I only heard concern raised about the area that the plan was dealing with specifically.
Okay. David, thank you so much
thank you.
For taking
Thanks,
the time
David.
To come join us. Good to see you as always.
Good to be here.
Are there any other matters from staff? Board. All right. Been moved and seconded that we adjourn. Actually, I didn't hear a second.
Second.
And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Matter passed unanimously.